Welcome to The Pump Spot. I'm Amy Van Herren. This platform is a place where we value community conversations and elevating voices around real topics, issues, and mothers. With that in mind, we wanted to bring you a very timely conversation between Lisa from our team and Jenny LaFleur, a mother, a champion for mothers, and someone who is tightly woven into our community. Really, Jenny is an extension of our team. Jenny is a community builder herself. She lives in Chicago, in Bronzeville specifically, with her husband and her three-year-old son. This episode is the start of a series of conversations with Black mothers and leaders. Without further ado, here's the chat between Lisa and Jenny, filled with vulnerability, passion, and a deep friendship.
Jenny LaFleur is here with me. She is someone who we met in Chicago nearly 2 years ago, which just blows my mind that it's been so long. But she's one of these people that you connect with and deeply feel their heart and spirit the moment she steps around you. And she's truly a community builder and leader and a mother who I respect personally on so many levels. And I'm really excited to have her here for this conversation today. But before I make any other introductions or ask questions, Jenny, can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and where you come from?
Sure. So I want to say thank you for allowing me to be in this space. It's so crazy that it seems like two years ago was so long ago, was then so short for like how much I'd since that 2 years, we haven't gone like 2 weeks without talking to each other. We've traveled with each other. Our kids have met and played with each other. So it was a great meeting. So I'm very thankful of that. I am Jenny LaFleur, and I am the mama behind Mama Fresh. And 3 years ago, I started Mama Fresh. I had my son when I was 36. And I lived in the city. I live in Chicago, and I traveled a lot for work. So I was in fashion at the time. And so I went back to work at 7 weeks after self-funded maternity leave. And then I started traveling right away. When I would come home on Fridays, I would, heavy with mom guilt, you know, bring him out to all of these activities, all of these fun things, because I wanted to make up for that time that I was missing during the week. At those activities, I found myself being a whole lot of other. I was the oldest mom in the room, often the only Black mama in the room. And there were often times where my son was either the only Black boy or the only child of color. And it made for some uncomfortable situations that I didn't want to feel that way. And I didn't want any other mom to feel that way. So it got on my heart for me to create a community where diversity in motherhood is celebrated. We all come to motherhood in so many different ways. And I really wanted to celebrate that and not just tolerate it, but celebrate. Like, I see your differences, and that's awesome. And that is what's going to make our community more impactful. So that's how it started. Mama Fresh is a fresh approach to motherhood. And we hope to encourage families to explore, I always say, their neighborhood, their community, and then eventually the world.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your neighborhood? Because part of what was so cool about the story when you first told me about Mama Fresh coming to life was that you took walks around your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it started small to connect these moms to celebrate diversity and raise their children together. And I think that that's just a really important story to share with our community.
When I was pregnant, I went to this seminar, and it was Harvey Karp, like, you know, the happiest kid on the block, happy Tyler on the block, happy baby on the block. And he said that our generation is the first generation that some of us have never even held a baby until our baby. And it blew my mind. I was like, what? And I was like, well, has my husband ever held a baby before? You know, before we have ours, we had nieces and everything, but he was kind of like the uncle, you know, that just waved at them because they were so small. So what I longed for was connection and the village raising of our kids that's really part of who we are. It was because of proximity that, you know, because so many of us have moved farther away from our genetic family, so our parents or our sisters of that nature. So we might find ourselves kind of alone in these places. So I wanted to create villages that we can really put ourselves together and so we can do this together. So when I started with the walks, I said, you know what? If one mama shows up, that's a walk. If it's me and her, we're going to do this. And I wanted a walk that wasn't focused on getting your body back. I wanted a walk that wasn't focused on you paying money. It was really focused on the community and being together. And that started out when I got there, one mama was waiting for me already. And I was like, what the? This is happening. And then two others showed up. So it was four of us on our first walk. And I still talk to all of those mamas till this day. And so we literally just walked what was supposed to be an hour, turned into hours. We were so happy to do this. And the word started to share. And so that was a year. If you fast forward the next year when we kicked off our summertime Mama Fresh walks, we did it at the Museum of Science and Industry. They were able to close down the museum and have a family day just with us there. And I think for that one, we had over 65 mamas that were there with their strollers, with their mamas, with their big kids, and we all did it together. And so I knew that that's what really let me know that what we were doing was needed. I didn't need to make this huge impact. I just literally needed to make an impact on my neighborhood.
I'm just constantly in awe because your small impacts have made such big waves. And mm-hmm. I think that at the heart of what you've been doing has always been this community connection that sees every mother for who she is and celebrates her differences. And I want to invite you to share a little more about what that might mean to you in light of the racial injustice and truly trauma that's going on in our world right now. Because we at Pump Spotting have always been here for an inclusive community, and having your voice and your leadership here is really important to us.
I always say that motherhood is the great equalizer. So no matter what race you are, no matter how many degrees you hold, no matter what your marital status is, we all are wondering, when is our baby going to sleep through the night? We all are worried about the first food that we're able to nourish our babies with. And we're all worried about, is this normal? Is teething at this month normal? You know, these are all common denominators. So I am so lucky to be in a space where you can put these women that seemingly come from so many different backgrounds, and we can have a conversation like that, because there are things that bring us together. So I have always started there. I've always started with us wanting the best for our kids, and we're all doing the best that we can to get there. The generational difference now is that some of us grew up, you know, with these sayings that made us all very comfortable. Sayings like, I don't see color. Saying that everyone is the same. Saying that, you know, we treat everyone the same. But in the light of what's happening now, is really forcing us to take a radical approach to parenting. And it's very exciting when you think about it, because we get to blaze a trail of what this new age of parenthood looks like. So it's not saying that I don't see your color. It's saying I see you for everything that you bring to the table. I see you. I see where you're from. I see your mama. I see all of the things you bring to the table. I see your color. I see your ethnicity. And that is what makes you awesome. And I want to learn more about that. So we get to take a radical approach. And I keep using the word radical because literally that's what it's going to take. And so we get to take this radical approach of raising our kids in a different way, using different words than we grow up having.
So as a mother myself, completely agreeing that motherhood equalizes us in this stripped down way.
Yeah.
You know, we all go through birth and postpartum. And yes, our experiences might be different, but our goals in raising our kids are the same, and or radically are going to become new, right? Mm-hmm. So as a mother to my kids, I'm looking at what strategies I'm going to implement them in that way. What are some of the things that you are doing as a mother or are going to start doing as a mother?
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that every journey is so different. I always say, and I say this over and over, that you have to manage your four walls, meaning that you have to figure out what works best for your home. So my starting level might be different than your starting level because our places in life are so different. So I heard someone say that they had to have this uncomfortable conversation about racial inequality and injustice and things with their 14-year-old daughter. And I'm like, 14? Like, I'm having it with my 3-year-old, you know? And that's because of the situation. I'm raising a young Black boy in Chicago. So I have to have this conversation way earlier than some other people. Also, okay, so what I would say to parents, and this is sometimes a hard pill to swallow for some mamas, is that you have to check yourself first. So you have to look in the mirror at yourself and say, what am I doing that reflects what I'm telling my kids to do? Because that lets us know if we're having realistic expectations. And kids are often, we all know, watching what you do more than what you say. So we want kids to treat everyone equally. We want kids to treat everyone fair, be nice to everyone at school. But it would do us a lot of good if we looked at our own friendship circles and asked, do they reflect the same values that we're asking our kids to do at 7 and 8 years old? So it's easier to have empathy and for to see someone as a whole person when we see those people in our everyday life. I don't have to stress Black Lives Matter in my home because my son knows his Black life matters. He's Black, he matters, he matters to me, my life matters. But if you are having, in your everyday life, you don't have any friends of color, you don't have any Black friends, you don't have any Latinx friends, you don't have any Asian friends, then you are gonna have to start at a ground zero of implementing characters, books, TV shows, stories, things of that nature into your life because your kids literally aren't seeing them in a day-to-day basis. So it's hard for them to understand that they do matter because they don't see the small things that make people funny. They don't see the jokes. They don't see the smart. They don't see all of the complicated things that make us who we are, that makes everyone who they are. And if they don't get to see that for themselves, then we are really going to have to start at zero. So I always say, if you're asking your kids to make friends with all of these people at school, let's take a stop and let's take a look through your photos in your phone and see what does your friendship circles look like. So let's do that self-work. And then once our kids see that our lives look so dynamic and they're so beautiful because of the different cultures that we're bringing, then they will want that more as they're growing up.
You're so very well spoken. And I think that I always look to you for advice on these situations as well, because you're family centric and mm-hmm. that resonates with me. So I just want to appreciate all that you're sharing, not only for me and my family, but for this community around us as well. I don't know the right questions to ask in this podcast because I really want to be here to hold space for experiences and insights that you want to share. And so I also want to offer this platform for you to just share freely, share what might be on your heart right now. And maybe that's too hard and that's okay. But we, you know, speaking on behalf of Pump Spotting, want to make it known that you're so important to our community. And this is a space for you to amplify what you want to share as well.
I think that it's almost really important to include that part as well too, Lisa, because we talk all the time. Like, we text all the time. And if you don't know what to say to me, then other people don't know what to say to people that they don't have those close friendships with. And I get that. I get that these weeks, these last months are uncomfortable. But then you also have to say, if I feel uncomfortable in the last 3 weeks what to say. Let me sit in this for a moment and let me really feel what this can feel like for a mom to feel uncomfortable all the time. Is this what it feels like for a mama to have a conversation with her five-year-old when they come home from school and someone makes fun of them literally because of their skin or because of their name or because of what they brought for lunch or all of those things that can happen? So it's okay to sit in that for a little bit. And I think that allowing space is something that we have to have for each other. And that we can say, I don't know what to say. Like, that's a valid comment. And we don't have to always come up with the right answer or the proper words. You know, what I would not do is, you know, you don't want to put yourself in the center of this situation. You know, I've been on the receiving end of a lot of text messages over the, last, I would say, you know, 2 weeks. I have a very diverse group of friends, and I don't say that to brag, but I kind of do say that to brag. That's just how I roll. And especially my mama friends, that's just how I am. I didn't realize how many friends that maybe I am their only Black friend, or maybe I am their only Black mama friend. So I've received a lot of messages. And also I have a public platform, so I received a lot of DMs and everything. And what I would think twice before doing is putting that burden on someone else who is right now going through a lot of mental and emotional trauma. I'm trying to find another word for trauma, but that's the word that's happening. And putting the burden on them to also now educate me, also now give me a resource guide. Also, can you give me a Google Doc that will quickly bring my kids up to speed about what's happening? You have to think if it was that easy, it would already be done. There is no talk that's going to mend this, y'all. There is no talk. There's not one conversation that you are going to sit down with and have with your kids that's going to ensure you that they won't be racist. You got to stop looking for that because it doesn't exist. What does exist is an open heart. To be able to have an open conversation and open the door in your house where you're able to have these conversations. And it's developmentally and age appropriate, but your kids are ready to talk about this. And so again, take yourself out of it. And instead of thinking that you have all the right words to fix this, sit down with your kids and ask them what they know. That's how you're gonna know what's the best place to start. Because kids hear things, kids feel things, kids notice things in their classroom. So ask them, you know, what happens when that one classmate that's the one kid of color in their class, how are they treated in their class? Ask them, how does that make them feel? How would it feel if you were in that situation? And then that's okay. You can have a 5-minute conversation and you table it for that day. And then they can bring it back up to you. But these are going to be a series of conversations as we talk about a new normal, as we approach post-pandemic. As we approach this new normal, this is going to be part of our new normal. This is an ongoing conversation that we're going to keep having as our kids grow, as our family grows, and as we grow in our own journey.
Thank you for acknowledging that some of us have to go through an uncomfortable space, and also acknowledging that sometimes we need time and space and silence before responding. So even as we're acknowledging conversations that we have back and forth, or that we are outreaching to our own community, they might not get direct answers right away because this is trauma and emotional weight that a lot of people are going through right now. And that deserves to be preserved in a way that's going to allow them to process. And so making space, leaving time, and truly doing the work of sitting in the hard spaces, like you said, not expecting someone to hand over a Google Doc of, here, read this, talk to this person, listen to this, but starting within your four walls after reflecting on yourself and taking steps from there are just absolutely beautiful takeaways for all of the mothers here, myself included.
Thing is, I know that that's hard. Like, I know that you want to say the right thing to the Black women and the Black mamas in your life. I know you want to shoot them the text that's going to make them feel better. I know that you just want to let them know that you're an ally here with them. And the best way to do that is through action. And this is just acknowledging that this time is happening without the but, you know. I know this is hard for you, but we're all, there's no but. This is really hard. This is for us personally, and I will tell you just where I stand with this personally. I live on the south side of Chicago. I'm like Michelle Obama. Like, I tell it right at the beginning. That tells you everything you need to know about me. You know, we live on the south side of Chicago, and we live in a neighborhood called Bronzeville. So the reason our neighborhood is called Bronzeville is because when Black families came from the South, this was one of the neighborhoods that they were allowed to settle in, and bronze meaning like a bronze statue, the bronzeness of our skin. And so this is a neighborhood that we chose to move in, and we're reclaiming back as now something that we can have pride in. So our neighborhood is the epicenter of every march that is happening. So if you see a march, 9 times out of 10, it is happening 2 blocks away from us. We live 2 blocks away from King Drive. And so it is usually happening in our neighborhood. So when the unrest started to happen, that was in our neighborhood. Once you saw the protesting, once you saw the rioters, once you saw the looting, once you saw the cleanup, those are all in our neighborhood. We went to my mother's house to stay for a couple of nights because literally our nighttime was covered by helicopters. Our grocery stores were all closed, and so we didn't have access to food. And there was a civil unrest between police officers and people that lived in our neighborhood. So we chose to leave for a couple of days just so I can gather myself, gather my breath. And then we decided it was important for us to come back. So I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you something I know when I say that it's okay to be uncomfortable. When I say that, these are conversations that I'm forced to have with a 3-year-old because he knows our local grocery store is physically boarded up as you drive past. And so these are conversations that I had to have. I did not have the privilege of waiting. So that, just because it's me and you, and I'll be real honest with you, I've moved my son back in my bed, which, as you know, he was 3 and he was sleeping in his own bed and every night, all night, not coming up ever. And he's back in my bed now because of the first nights of us being at home. I mentally could not handle the idea of him being out of my arm's reach because I didn't know what, in a logistical way, I didn't know what was going to happen, that I needed to get to him and we might need to go. And then in an emotional space, I needed to be able to touch my Black son at night because I was waking up crying and all of this other stuff. So I physically had to be able to touch him. So for the last couple of weeks, I have slept with him in my bed. So you're talking about like levels of emotional things that how this is affecting me. And that's tough. I don't know what's the end date. You know, my husband asked me last night, he's like, should we put him down in our bed or should I put him in his room? And I'm like, I'm not ready yet. I don't have an end date, but I know it's not today. And so I would advise moms, just take it day by day, night by night, hour by hour. And I'm telling you this, but I don't tell other people that he's back in my bed, and I don't have to validate that to anyone. That is what's working for me in my home right now.
And change, radical change particularly, is not going to happen overnight. And there is no timeline on that. And so give yourself the grace as well to not put a timeline or pressure on yourself to make those decisions, because you are doing what's best for you and your family in the here and now. The here and now seems to be evolving at this rapid pace that none of us can keep up with right now. And so those decisions just have to be taken, like you said, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, sometimes 1 minute at a time. We even say at Pump Spotting, when we're encouraging moms through their breastfeeding journey, you can make it one more ounce, one more feed, and one more day. And with everything that's going on in this world since 2020 started, I feel like those baby steps are just continued encouragement for all of us. Just take that first next step. And then what's the next step? And then where are you going to reach when you continue adding those steps up? Even when we're talking about these big radical changes of racial disparities and discrimination.
Mamas, we have to give ourselves credit too, because when we became mamas, we did not become teachers. We did not become counselors. We did not become therapists. And these are all the hats that we're having to wear now on top of our careers, on top of our spousal relationship commitments and things of that nature. So if this was happening in a normal time, you would also have the expertise of a teacher there to help facilitate conversations. And they will be having conversations in school, and they will be coming home with worksheets. And you can use that as a leverage, like a springboard to have conversations in. We don't have that right now. We don't have someone that is trained to talk to, you know, kids are developmentally our children's age to really filter this conversation and have these things. That's why we're relying on things like the Sesame Street, you know, town hall that they have, because we want someone to tell us, even if it's Elmo, how can we have these conversations in our house? You know, so give yourself the grace there to say, you know, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a teacher, I'm not any of those things, but what I am is a mom. And so I know I want to raise the best kid I can. I want to raise the best human that I can. So let me find out where we are right now. And let me be very vulnerable and tell them where I am right now. And so then we can have this conversation and figure it out together. You're not going to lead your child on this anti-racist path. You know, girl, you got to let that go. Just take that weight off. What you can is walk together on an anti-racist journey as a family, and it has to be together. So you have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to your spouse. You have to talk, and all the, like, the funny jokes that we're making, shows that we might be watching that might put people in certain categories. We got to cut all of that out, because there is no room for that anymore. And so we have to make this walk together.
Togetherness is something that is so important in this motherhood journey. And we talked about that at the beginning of this conversation, Jenny. Part of what you needed when you became a mom was that togetherness of people around you, and where you weren't finding it, you created it. And especially in these circumstances of the pandemic and social distancing, isolation has been running deep, so deep. And I feel that tremendously. You add in these layers of these traumas and these emotions and things that you're processing, and you are taken away from that village that you rely on, not only for yourself and your mental health, but for raising your children. And there's a lot of gaps. And I just want to shine a light on that fact and what you're saying, for the sake of honoring that we need one another, and honoring that coming together is going to also help move us forward.
The only thing that's going to help move us forward. I mean, you've heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that is the only thing that's going to keep us together. Together, you, that again, starting small. Together, get all the adults in your house on the same page. So together, you and your husband. So that might look like a real, real ugly conversation, you know, having, what does that look like? You know, my husband, the events over the weekend happened, and I knew he has his 8:30. He has an 8:30 call. He has a 9 a.m. call. And I was like, how are you going to get on this call? like, bro, how are you even going to figure this out? You know, And he's like, I'm going to give my report and I'm going to peace out. Like, I am going to be real honest and frank with the person that he reports to and say, I'm not okay. And say that I need some space with my family. And so it's really having these conversations with, you know, making sure all the adults in your house are on the same page, then talking to the kids, and then talking to your neighbors, and then talking to your school districts, and then, you know, to your school, and then to the district, and then talking. So you see how this is growing. And stop trying to think that you have to go to Congress and pass a bill in order to incite change. You don't. You just have to go downstairs and like talk to your kids. And that's going to be the biggest change that we can have.
One thing that we always ask as we wrap up conversations, what is some sort of encouragement or uplift that you want to leave our community with? You've given so much. And so this is not to deplete you of all of the wisdom that you're shining and shedding on us right now. And sincere appreciation over and over for this conversation, but also the opportunity to say, this is what I'd like to offer you.
What I would like to say to you is that if you are still listening, if you have made it this far in this podcast through the uncomfortable, through thinking about your own house, thinking about our place in the world, you are already part of the change. You, because you have an open heart. So you are already making those steps, girl. And for that, I'm proud of you. So what's next? Figure out what's next for you. And that is enough. You are enough. Your family is enough. And believe me, the changes that you will put in place just in your house will be the start of enough.
You're beautiful. And such a good mother and role model, community builder and leader. And I'm grateful to be able to call you a friend.
I'm like crying. I'm like, I love you. And, you know, and it's, I hope that this conversation really just encourages other mamas to have conversations and to have friendships and be open to new friendships. Our friendship started 2 years ago. And if you look logistically on paper, there's so many things that can be different about us, but there are so many things that can be, that are so the same.
Scarily
the same. And we got there because we were open to having new friendships. So you'll hear people, everybody know the saying, no new friends, you know, making friends is awkward, especially if you married because you haven't dated or tried to court anybody in a long time. So making friends could be awkward. But, you know, I hope that our conversation and our friendship could just be encouragement to others. So like, yes to new friends. Yes to new things in your life. Yes to having an open heart to seeing where those things lead you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so much like hand raising as you're saying on paper, we're different, but very much the same. It just makes me laugh. And this journey has been so fun to be on with you and, you know, raising our kids and being in completely different locations with different environments and backgrounds and families. But, you know, motherhood equalizes it. Also, we're connected on a deep, soulful level. So
literally, we can talk up. And that's what we have to have conversations that we feel comfortable talking. Like you and I have talked about all those things that remember when we graduated from college and they told us when you go to an office place, you do not talk religion. You do not talk politics. You do not talk current events. You know what I mean? That might be water cooler conversation, but you keep that at a surface level. Girl, that is gone. You know what I mean? As you can see, companies are issuing statements. People are having, my husband's company had a whole mental health conversation for their, not just their Black employees today, but for all the employees under their umbrella that wanted to join. So those things are out the window. The same things are with friendships. We are looking for friendships that are deep, that are connecting us on a deeper level. And if you have those friendships, then these conversations can come out of them and be so beautiful.
It has to be able to be that vulnerable space, I think, to really have the true conversations that are necessary and uncomfortable and the time to process and the learning or unlearning on my behalf. As we continue to grow in our friendship and grow in our greater community, it just has to hold that vulnerability and allow for it truly.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank Amy, thank the Pump Spotting team. And the Pump Spotting family has just welcomed me with such open arms, and the duality can exist. You know what I mean? Like, I am in Chicago, I am Mama Fresh, but there is, when you all say from Pump Spotting, you're speaking from me too, because I'm part of your family too. There's no either or.
And I love that. And I love that you've become so much an important part of our family and will continue to be. So thank you for being here. We will not hold you all in this space for 3 hours of a conversation, but if you want more, Jenny can come back.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you want, you know, I'm on all the social medias just as Mama, M-A-M-A, Fresh, Shy, C-H-I. And I would love to hear, you know, I love hearing from families and I love hearing from mamas. So feel free to DM or message me or reach out to Lisa and the Pump Spotting team. If there's more to explore, more conversations that you want to have, we're open to it.
This has been the Pump Spotting Podcast. We'll be continuing the conversation and hanging out over on our app. We hope you'll come by to share your story and thoughts. And if you haven't already downloaded Pump Spotting, it's quick and easy to set up your profile and join the community. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to our wonderful production team at Pitchwire, who partner with us to bring you these stories. We'll see you next time, and remember, you are capable, you are radiant, and you are not alone.